Levine, and I'm going to go all the way back to item 8A, Health and Human Services, COVID-19 update. Wait. Procedurally, I need to reconvene as the Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors, correct.
Now.
Good evening. Angela Davis, County Administrator. The Director of Public Health, as well as her assistant, are in Oroville in a very important public health meeting today. So in her absence, I will just report out that currently, as of today, we have 71 active cases of COVID. We have 14 new active cases over the weekend, which we have now a total confirmed cases of 4,961. And we have currently 8 hospitalized, 2 of which are in ICU, and we've had 74 deaths, which does exhibit an uptick in that number. With regards to the vaccination status, we have 45.4% of all residents that are vaccinated. And then with regards to the Omicron variant, it is being closely monitored, and currently we have not had any cases within Siskiyou County. So with that, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions or forward those questions to the Director of Public Health. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. Chris. Only question I have for Shelley Davis, for Ms. Davis, the other Ms. Davis, through this Ms. Davis, is if they have, where they have the treatments at. I think they were trying to get them into the clinics, such as Butte Valley, Tule Lake. I'm not using the right word, just treatment like what President Trump received. That could be whatever we're doing, the treatments they give where they don't stay in the hospital.
Right, it's the monoclonal.
That's it. Yes. And we can just see the areas that has been, I know they're providing it, I think the Fairchild, but if they're, the locations of where they're providing it.
Okay.
And if areas aren't, if there's something we could do to try to get that geographical spread of that service out to all regions.
Absolutely, I will share that with you.
And thank you, my colleagues, for coming up with the word.
For public health question, do we supply the vaccines to the schools directly, or do they get that from another source?
I will have to verify that.
And then the follow-up question to that is that are vaccines made available to minors without parent consent?
And you are referring them to the school-aged children?
Yes.
Who are in school?
Yes.
Okay. I will get those answers
for
you.
Thank
you. And I would like to, if we could, find out what the current vaccination rate is in the county. I thought we were above 50%. I think last time I looked, it was below.
We are fully vaccinated. 45.4% of all residents are fully vaccinated.
Okay.
We have partially vaccinated to 7% of the population, and I'm talking entirely. From 5 years old to 18-year-old population are 48% vaccinated. And then I also have the region vaccination rates, but so we are at 45.4 vaccination.
Okay. 8C, County Administration Personnel.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Melissa Cummings, Deputy County Administrator. So I have 2 items for you this afternoon. The first one, staff is requesting the board's consideration on a resolution requesting a waiver to the 180-day CalPERS rule for a recently retired employee to return to work. Sheriff's Office currently has a total of 8 permanent and 1 extra help positions allocated to cover the dispatch center. CAO's office has been and is actively recruiting for 2 vacant dispatcher positions. Once a successful candidate is selected, goes through all of the background checks, everything that's required for the position, there's still a 2 to 3 month training period for that person. Richard Anderson, if you know him, recently retired from his position as a communications dispatch coordinator. He has 27 years of knowledge and expertise running in and working in that particular center. So his support for their ongoing operations is essential at this point in time. We're requesting the board's consideration of the resolution, which will then be submitted to CalPERS, and he would not be able to start until they gave their final approval. So that's part one.
Okay.
Of this item.
Second.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbseth?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you.
D.
Okay, my next item for you. Again, Melissa Cummins, Deputy County Administrator. Senate Bill 3 passed in 2016, which set in motion a series of minimum wage adjustments for California employers. January 2022 is the last increase, which brings required minimum wage for employers with more than 26 employees to $15 per hour. As outlined in our agenda packet, we did submit a request to move 14 of the county's lowest paid classifications to an hourly rate of $15.33, which is just a smidge over, but still more, of the required $15 per hour. The employee association who represents the 14 classifications denied our request to increase the positions above the required minimum wage. So part one of this item is to approve the resolution authorizing the salary adjustments for those classifications to $15 an hour, effective December 26th. And part two is the requirement that the board annually adopt the entire salary schedule for the county.
Could you tell me how many employees we're talking about?
So there's currently approximately 67 classifications. Those are not all full-time or permanent part-time. Those are extra help. I didn't do a split of...
Yeah. I'm just about the wage adjustment that the union denied. Mm-hmm. How many employees are we talking about?
You want full-time permanent?
Just the total number, so I wonder.
Oh, 67 positions total.
67 positions that we want to increase the wages and the union is saying no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
yes.
Who to approve?
Just for the discussion, can you expand on that a little bit? I'm not understanding what, that doesn't make any sense to me.
So the MOU allows or requires that we meet and confer with them on salary increases.
Okay.
And so we submitted a request to the union, or it's actually an employee association. We submitted a request to them saying, you know, minimum wage is going to $15 an hour. We would like to move these employees to $15.33. And they met and took a vote and responded back to our email and said that the membership voted no to moving these employees to $15.33 because they have concerns.
I appreciate their concerns, but bah humbug, I still stand by my motion. Holiday season and all.
Did they state their concerns, Mr. Chair? Did they state their concerns?
There was concerns regarding the compaction between those positions that were being bumped up and the ones above them.
Okay. That's not taking money away from anybody in the union.
It's not taking any money away from those other employees, no.
Okay.
So there's just an inequity in the position.
Yeah, so if you have the one employee's now at $15 an hour, the other one was at $16, and if we, bring one up but don't adjust the others. So that was their concern, is that this one is staying at 16.
It's not done by a percentage of...
Right.
Could that... Maybe I'm overstepping. Could that be adjusted at the next negotiation?
Yes, and I believe on a previous meeting, the board had given staff the direction we don't want to piecemeal these things together, so it is going to be discussed in negotiations, which we will be starting with that group in a few months.
So their thought is they just want to wait till the negotiation. We're thinking.
Knowing that sorry, Mr. Chair.
It's the same argument we had, 2 years ago when we tried to bring the lower graded employees up to a living wage and the union rejected that.
Call for the question.
Did we second?
Where's the second?
I got a motion and a second. I have a question. Is that for both resolutions?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So clarify the vote for me.
First one is the resolution adopting the proposed salary adjustments, correct? Effective December 26th.
The first resolution is approving the changes to those identified classifications. and the adjustments to the salaries. Mm-hmm. The second resolution is the annual one for to comply with CalPERS that incorporates all of those changes that we're making effective December 26, 2021.
So essentially two resolutions.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, ready?
Yes.
Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye, knowing we'll deal with this in negotiation.
Supervisor Cobb-Sepp.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Obrin.
Aye.
And Supervisor Hupp.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item E, County Administration.
Good evening. I'm Rachel York, Deputy County Administrator, and I'm here to talk about ARPA. So as you're aware, the county has been awarded $8,456,940 of American Rescue Plan Act, which we call ARPA funding, that can be utilized to support the COVID-19 pandemic response. So once we were awarded the funding, we created a committee which consists of Supervisor Valenzuela, Angela Davis, County Administrator, myself, Shelley Davis, Director of Public Health, Dana Barton, Deputy County Administrator, Deputy County Counsel, Shelley Davis, and Jason Ledbetter, Director of Jail Services, Jenny Ebinger, Auditor Controller, and Anne-Marie Zedker, Assistant Auditor Controller. So our first thing we did is we sent a request out to all departments asking for any requests that they had that related to ARPA or COVID. The first round of responses or requests came back at a little over $29 million. So the committee met and we said, let's put this back in the department's court and have them tell us what of their projects that they submitted, what projects they can tie to COVID, and also to prioritize their list of what they submitted. When we got the second or the revised list back, it totaled a little over $13 million. So at that point, the committee met and we went through every single project that was part of that $13 million. And of those projects, we were able to comfortably approve around $7 million, a little over $7 million worth of projects. We didn't want to allocate all of the funds right now. So any of the remaining funds, we can meet a request and bring that back to the board in the future as well. So are there any questions? So basically what I'm asking is to approve the get board approval on the committee approved list that totals a little over $7 million.
Okay. How much was left over, Ms.?
It'll be about $1.3 million.
And does that have to be spent by a certain deadline?
We have to spend everything. So I think everything has to be committed by December 31st of 2024, but we have until December 31st of 2026 to spend all the money.
I appreciate that you're not just saying this as cash, just to spend being wise on what you're spending it on. And then it basically shows that you're not just spinning through it real quick, but you're being wise and selected. So that's a compliment to your team.
Thank you.
Everything on everything on the list would be funded.
Correct.
So it's not a concern, but $4 million going for the old hospital building. I get it, but is it worth $4 million? That's my question. Is it going to be a great building after $4 million or just mediocre?
Well, I will let Jason Ledbetter, he's on the line, since he's now working with this with Shelley Davis. I'll let him explain a little bit more.
I agree, 60%.
Jason, go ahead.
Hi, this is Jason Ledbetter, Director of... Yeah, can you guys hear me okay? This is Jason, Director of Dental Services.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that project is specifically to provide public health and Shelley Davis with the means necessary of the kind of larger staff and the windfall of extra money coming to public health to deal with not only this pandemic, but the possibility of future pandemics. And I understand Supervisor Cobb-Sepp's concern. The project will entail a fixing of the roof and a large level of abatement to the building. And I think from the perspective of General Services, our standpoint when we look around the landscape of Yreka and possibly placing one of our departments in an alternative space, we still come back to the fact that we own the building and that there are certain fixes that need to take place. So I would temper the expectations that the entire building would be rectified. We're specifically looking at what is considered the old cafeteria to the old hospital and the exterior space of the building, which includes a basement that has a large level of required abatement with a lot of asbestos, lead paint, and some boilers that are no longer connected to any level of service in that space.
So there's not another building in town for $4 million that'll meet the need. I just want to know what's worth putting it into. That's all I'm asking. Yes, I guess is what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's our stance. We believe it is worth it because at the end of the day, even if we built a brand new building, we still own this particular building. And so...
Okay, okay.
It's in our best interest to improve it, I guess, okay. Is our stand.
And but then, I have you on the line, Jason, with regard to the HVAC systems that are proposed in, I think, more than one or two of these in the plant, or the request for the apartments. What type of HVAC systems are you looking at, and are we bidding locally?
Yeah, we're looking at possibly going back to some engineered design that we had done or some predecessors had done, specifically to 1312 Fairlane, the Siskiyou County Admin Center, in implementing a project that had been designed in the past. We're looking at a MERV 13, so something that can take on proper filtration of air due to viruses and other items floating through,
gotcha,
through the system as is. At this point, you know, we would like to get as far as we can with a multitude of different buildings, but we're focusing at this point on 1312 Fairlane.
Okay.
And we could absolutely do a local preference on that bid.
I just know that there's some highly efficient, energy-wise, HVAC systems out there that I hope we're looking at.
Yeah, we'll explore that after. We're waiting for kind of to get your feedback, the supervisor's feedback on the direction, and then we plan on taking this list and moving forward externally with getting people on board under contract to vet out the possible best system. And I think since the design was done, there's been improvements in energy efficiency and also filtration within HVAC systems.
Okay, thank you. And then I'm in agreement with the proposed 37, except that I think you need to add two. One is it was building the extra help for plan check. I think that can be COVID-related since they have been behind. That's a revenue generator for the county when plans are checked and houses are built or buildings are built. That's tax revenue on the table. And for 25 grand, that's not a lot of money to put back into that department. The other one is, I'd like to see through general services the boat ramp extension in Lake Siskiyou put in for $150,000. I don't know when we would get that done future without something like this. I don't know how we relate it to COVID, but I'm sure we can be creative, or the committee can. I think it's a necessity future for that project that we have going there. I mean, the bridge and the water well, I'm in complete agreement, but I think we need to add the boat ramp as well.
Okay. So we can add that right now, or we can take that back to the committee and then bring that back as additional projects, because I have had a couple extra requests from other departments as well that we'll have to bring back. Your guys' call.
Is that what you normally, is that the procedure?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, I'll do it today if we get enough votes, but I think out of benefit to the committee, it can go back to the committee.
Okay.
I'll vote for the vote, right?
It's a mess. Okay.
So we'll take the, both of those projects back to the committee, and we'll bring that back again for approval at a later date.
You'll be looking at the original list over again?
What was that?
You'll be looking at the original one over again?
Not necessarily the first one of $29 million.
Right.
We'll probably maybe review some of the ones on the $13 million one or any new request as well.
Okay.
So, of the $13 million one, we were confident that about $7 million of it we could tie to COVID.
Okay.
So, we can go, definitely go back and relook at those other ones, but I'm not
so
sure
if
how beneficial that would be.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, you know, we wanted a direct nexus to COVID.
Yeah.
So, because it's going to get under the microscope as all things do. The boat ramp, you couldn't make that connect, nexus, if you will, from knowing that we're going to be in the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. They have a tourism component to it. There's other money. You know, I think that, you know, the fact that we had the lake was adjusted flow-wise, you know, so the lake came back up because we got the 5 CFS. Had actually authorization to go another 5 CFS. You know, we just bought ourselves some time is what it is. As the district supervisor down there, of my district, I'm all for spending all we can, but, you know, by the same token, I need to be prudent about where we spend ARPA money with COVID, because I don't want to make a mistake.
Yeah, correct.
And the funding has to be spent on Siskiyou County services?
That's what we want to do, because we have so many projects.
Understood.
That totally more than $8 million.
I will say that, talking to my peers, I mean, there was a wide scope of what they did with that money. I would say ours is more narrow focused. It was really, and I'll just, it was obviously oversold, but it's a clear, you know, I'll use the HVAC system. It's stuff that we need to do at some point, and we're getting someone else's money to do that we don't have otherwise. So.
Makes us more efficient.
So you're going to bring the entire package back, or do you want to vote on it?
No. Approve this one, today. Yes, and then we'll bring back any additional requests at a later date.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Supervisor Help?
Aye.
Thank you.
Mr. Dean. Composting toilets.
Composting toilets.
Gotta love them.
They're illegal right now. Right?
Especially in the huh? Yeah. Good afternoon, Rick Dean, Community Development Director. Before you is the item regarding composting toilets, waterless toilets, as you say. We're looking to make an addition to our Chapter 5 sewage disposal. To expand the use of composting toilets within any unincorporated area, understanding with some very strict restraints on those. The proposed ordinance would allow for waterless toilets within the county when certain conditions are met, including that a person applies for an on-site wastewater treatment system permit. That's another standard septic permit, basically. For the structure which is served by the composting toilet. Also, it would require that all rough plumbing be installed for that toilet space prior to issuance of a waterless toilet. Supervisor Kopseth mentioned essentially composting toilets in our county are illegal, with the exception with some instances, say trailheads or certain areas to serve campgrounds and that sort of thing. Otherwise, we do not permit them. So with our discussion that we have regarding this, really we're in a world of drought. Any reason that we can conserve water is something to be considered. Also, another thing that I'm a fan of the composting toilets essentially is a lack of contamination going into groundwater. If you think about it, the septic system is an injection well, essentially. Right? So everything goes into your septic system, finds its way into groundwater. Talk about nitrogen, nitrates, and so forth. Nitrogen is awesome. It's 75-78% of the air that we breathe. Once it goes through denitrification into ammonium nitrite, and then finally into nitrate, It's consumed by plants, helps us grow everything. It's awesome, with the exception of in on-site wastewater treatment systems, where it is very soluble and difficult to treat, and eventually finds its way into the groundwater, and in many cases to surface water, which supplies additional nutrients to those surface waters through algal blooms and other, you know, poor water quality concerns. So under the auspice that we allow a waterless toilet to occur in a single-family dwelling that is completely plumbed for a normal septic system. So if it's not maintained properly, you know, the plumbing is right there, we require it to be removed and replaced with a flush toilet, or in case where the property owner sells the home, the new owner doesn't want to have anything to do with this composting toilet, they have the ability to replace it with a flush toilet. In no sense is this any avenue for composting toilets to be countywide, put up your tent, put up your composting toilet, and you're all good to be developed. That is not the intent of this at all. And in fact, if you read through it, it's probably more stringent than any other ordinance in other counties that we have. Other counties, in some cases, will allow gray water connection with these. I suggest that we don't do that, because if we ever do need to replace it with a flush toilet, you'd have to put in a whole different system, you know, to meet the standards of black water, essentially. With that said, I would support that we would include the use of composting toilets for those folks that want to help protect the environment at their expense, basically. Within this, we don't have a fee directed for the composting toilet. We've incorporated that in with the on-site wastewater treatment system permit that we have. It would be a small fee to the building department that you would have for a typical utility for a toilet. So. Any questions?
We should have done this a lot sooner. There's a lot of things that we find out that we have that are illegal on the books, and it's just a small correction that actually is a benefit. We had to shut down our basically purification plant at the septic pond that we had out there at the airport that didn't turn out to be as bad as it's expected, but this is something that even helps offset that, so I support it. I think it's a great idea.
So the recommended motion is to waive a reading and approve the first reading of the ordinance, amending the section, and then we need a date for the Deputy Director of Environmental Health to amend the lamp draft and include the subject content.
Yes, and I should, for Supervisor Ogren's benefit, and also Angela Davis, CAO, describe a bit about the LAMP, Local Area Management Plan, that we have for on-site wastewater treatment systems. As the Maine Board knows, we went through a process of another hand-me-down from the state, if you will, 2014. Counties had the option to create their own local area management plan for sewage disposal, or be governed by the state, essentially. So we chose to do that in a roundabout way. The first legislation came through, I believe, in 2014. Our plan was supposed to be due in 2018. My predecessors didn't take any action to achieve that. CAO Terry Barber at the time appointed Environmental Health Director incoming to write the LAMP, which was myself. The crazy thing of it was, we created the LAMP, wrote it, submitted it to the state. They've been in review process for 3 years now. Still waiting to get it approved. And one of the remaining glitch, basically, is, Siskiyou County, we have application rates that are probably double the rest of the state, and from direction from the board, we're to hold tight on that, so we're holding firm on that conversation. We have good evidence that it worked very well for us, the application rates that we utilize here in the county.
So, just hoping for some common sense to kick in at the state level and improve our plan.
So I guess what this motion's asking is for you to amend the LAMP draft that's already been drawn by purple?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the third part of this one is the scheduling of the second reading.
I believe we have time to post and publish for the first meeting in January. I think it is the 4th, January 4th. And I will be asking the department to create a summary of the ordinance, which will also be published prior to that public hearing.
Okay. My motion includes all three of those things.
Okay. And 1-4, 22. Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Sure.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Huff.
Aye.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Recess. County Board convene as the Siskiyou Power Authority. 10A, public comment. Any public comment for the Power Authority? Please let us recognize you at this time.
Showing none online.
And none in chambers. Consent agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion and second, Wendy.
Okay, Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Cobbsett.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Okren.
Aye.
And Director Hill.
Aye. Adjourn as the Siskiyou County Power Authority and convene the County Service Area 4. Public comment. Public comment for Service Area 4.
Showing none online.
Move to approve both.
Separate.
October 19th.
Okay.
All on second and 19.
Thank you. Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Cobbsett?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Sure.
Director Okren?
Aye.
And Director Hill?
Abstain. I wasn't present. Amendment approval for November 2nd.
So moved to approve.
Second.
Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Cobbsett?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Yep.
Director Okren?
Abstain.
Let's see, abstain. Thank you. And Director Hill?
Aye. Adjourn County Service Area 4. Reconvene as Board of Supervisors. 12A, Board of Supervisors request. Proclamation by the Health Officer in relation to the health hazards related to the river complex. Move to extend.
Second.
Give me a sec. Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Okren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Huff?
Aye. Run through the appointments quick.
Yeah, this one here, the RCRC Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority, ESJPA, Board of Directors, this would be for 2022. Their bylaws do require that one of the supervisors be a delegate, but alternates are generally a staff member who's in charge of the solid waste slash recycling programs for the county. In 2021, Supervisor Cobbsett was appointed as delegate, and General Services Director Jason Ledbetter and Project Coordinator Joy Hall were both appointed as first and second alternates, respectively. And Mr. Ledbetter did request reappointment of Joy Hall and himself as alternates for this year, for 2022.
Sure, yeah, I'm willing to continue.
Move to reappoint all three.
All second.
Okay. Okay, Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Okren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Help.
Aye. Siskiyou County Assessment Appeals Board.
Yes, I'm actually going to address both of these at the same time. I have two of them on the agenda. One was continued. It has to do with the delegate, and the other is, make sure I got the right one here, to do with the alternate members. In short, the county clerk's office, we did a recruitment via letters and sent those out to people that are either in the auditing field, in the realtor or real estate field, and also attorneys. And we did get a response. I got a couple of people interested in being a member or an alternate for this. The first one is John Quinn. He's actually an attorney, and he's in the DA's office. And Diana Shinoni, she's a broker slash realtor in the county as well. And I do have those two that are interested. I do need to fill one delegate for sure, and then one alternate position. If we could let me know which one are both of those that you approve of, that would be great.
Through the chair, it doesn't create a conflict that it's a county employee?
My understanding is he spoke to Mr. Andrus and said it was not going to be a conflict.
Okay.
So they will both need to go through training, and hopefully that will, as soon as we get them appointed, I will get on that so we can have our springtime assessment appeals board hearing with a three-man board.
One can be a delegate, one can be an alternate. You can't, it's not two delegates.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. At this point, it's just one delegate position, and then I still have three empty alternate positions.
Right. That's the tough part, is not familiar with either one as much as I should be.
So who responded first, Wendy?
Oh, you know, I would have to say Mr. Quinn. He actually assisted me in getting letters out to the other attorneys. He helped me a little bit with the recruitment and getting my letter sent to the local bar association.
So moved, Mr. Quinn.
So appoint him as delegate, correct?
Correct, that's correct.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, I want to take these individually. So Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
And then I'm assuming Ms. Shinoni as a delegate?
Alternate.
Or as an alternate, sorry.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Thank you very much.
All right, minute approval, 14A, October 5th.
I do have one that needs a correction, so let me make sure I find that one first. I think it's the 16th, but let me just make sure. Yep, I won't have a change till the 16th. Everything else, I've received no corrections.
So moved on the minute approval for the 5th. I understand we have to do the 7th or 6th.
Second.
Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Aye. October
19th. 10-19.
No changes?
No.
Second.
Let's see, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Howe?
Abstain. My present.
On that one, thank you.
November 2nd.
So moved to approve with no corrections?
No corrections. Okay, Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Abstain.
And that's an abstain, thank you. And Supervisor Hill?
Aye. November 9th.
No changes?
Moved to approve?
Second. Sorry.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Abstain. Absolutely.
Thank you. Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill?
Aye.
Okay. And the last one is November 16th. And there just needs to be a paragraph added. And it would come after on page 191, which is under volume 77, after the Hornbrook Fire Protection District appointment. It was moved by Supervisor Cobbsett, seconded by Supervisor Ogren, and carried following a roll call vote with Supervisors Chris, Cobbsett, Valenzuela, Ogren, and Haupt voting yes to appoint in lieu of election to the Grenada Sanitation District Kenneth Keyes for a full term December 3, 2021 through December 5, 2025. And that's the only correction I have.
Move to approve the correction.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye. Aye.
Supervisor Cobb-Sell.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Hill.
Aye. You know, I hate to do this. We got another public hearing here. We've got a couple of them. I guess an announcement this time. Open the item C, but I'm being asked by staff to continue that to January 4th.
Item C?
Yeah.
Well, let me make a note here. Well, the hearing, it's already open because it's been continued, correct?
Okay. Yes, it has.
So we want to continue the
January
public
4th.
Hearing to 1/4/22. All righty.
All right. Next is the second reading of an ordinance, item A, County Clerk.
Yes, and we do need to open. Okay. All righty. So this is a proposed ordinance, and it's amending Title II, Chapter 12, Section 2-12.101 of the Siskiyou County Code, and it's regarding clerk's fees. Assembly Bill 128, Chapter 21 of Statutes of 2021, increases various vital record fees effective January 1st, 2022. In the county clerk's office, a certified copy of a confidential marriage license will increase by $1, raising the cost of a certified copy of a confidential marriage license to $16. It's currently $15. On November 29th, 2021, the clerk's office was notified that the state office of vital records that the fee increase would change from $1 to $2, making the cost of a certified copy of the confidential marriage license go to $17. And then, of course, there's a breakdown on the agenda worksheet of the $2, which the increase would go to different accounts. At this point, I believe Nicole spoke with County Council's office, Dana and County Council's office. We did publish this as a public hearing to consider, and I don't think we included the fees. It was just that it was a public hearing to consider the clerk's fees, the change in the ordinance for the clerk fee. So we're wondering, is it appropriate to continue on as a second reading, adding that additional dollar? Or do we need to start the process over again with a first reading and go through the process again?
I'm sorry, you just changed it now?
Yeah, the state on November 29th, which was just last week,
right.
The state notified us that it's now going to be a $2 increase, so
and
instead of 17.
That was what we did first.
Right, but
so
we didn't actually publish the money amount.
But it's changed since the first reading.
But it's changed since the first reading.
We'll make this the first reading.
Okay. My next question, can we continue this as a public hearing as the first reading and then bring this back either the 14th of December or January 4th? Or do we need to publish again a new public hearing?
If we're continuing it, I don't think we need to publish again. Why don't we do January 4th just so I can double check something?
For that. Okay. If that's if the board so desires, we'll consider this the first reading, but still keep the public hearing open.
Okay. So the rest of the protocol, I need to go through that today?
Go through it, but don't close the hearing.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence to be presented?
Not at the clerk's level.
Any other arguments, evidence, or staff reports? Opponents' arguments?
Seeing none online.
Opponents' arguments?
So none online.
Public comment on this item?
Showing none online.
Okay. None in the chamber. Rebuttal by proponents?
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents?
Showing none online.
Continue this hearing.
And
any discussion of the board?
Mr. Kernan's recommendation was to bring it back on January 4th, correct?
Right.
Okay.
And you need a motion to that effect?
Yes.
Good. So moved.
Second.
Motion and second.
Okay. All righty. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobb-Sell.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Hull.
Aye. This next reading is a second reading of the ordinance under 15B, Community Development, County Council.
Good afternoon, William Carroll, Deputy County Council. I'm here for a second reading of the ordinance. This ordinance is to create a penalty for people who fail to obey as directed by code enforcement officers. The usual method is to order somebody to cut and leave in place. On a rare occasion, we've had somebody whisk away their plants. Therefore, we can't verify whether they're actually abated. And so this proposed ordinance would impose a penalty if the property owner does not abate as directed and leave evidence the plants have been cut on the property rather than whisked away to who knows where. It would impose a $5,000 fine for failing to follow code enforcement or orders regarding abatement.
Do we have any correspondence on this?
Not at the clerk's level.
Any other reports, arguments, or evidence by other staff, county departments, or public agencies? I don't think so. Proponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
Opponents' arguments?
Showing none online.
And then in chambers, public comment on this item.
Showing none online.
And then in chambers, rebuttal by proponents.
None online.
Rebuttal by opponents.
None online.
And I can close this hearing.
Correct.
Bring it back to discussion of the board, if any. If not, I'm looking for a motion.
So moved.
Second.
And that's the recommended motion, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Cobsett?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Hull?
Aye. That it?
I believe that.
Order for it. Yeah. I think it's going to be good for that. There's no further business. Oh,
well, and he did complete closed session.
He's rolling jokes now.
Oh, good.
Yes. We're adjourned.